Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
UVA football is the softest bunch of cream puffs, bow tie wearing, brie cheese eating, NASCAR wearing wussies I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to punch people from UVA right in the neck. They wear suits to games. That's absurd.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Guys in Tights podcast. This is Dustin. I'm here with Rob. We're on the call. Rob, you're on vacation this week. Just finished your finals. How do you feel? How's it going? How's Roanoke?
Roanoke's good, man. Good to get back in Virginia. Probably the longest time in my life being outside of Virginia. Mm-hmm. So good to be back here for a little bit. Start second mod next week. Good vibes at UNC right now, man. Drake May looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. Armando Bacot, ACC preseason player of the year. A lot of number one votes for UNC. So
yeah, preseason number one in the AP poll. Looking good. Do you get student tickets to basketball games?
Yeah, it's just like UVA where it's a lottery system. So, okay. But yeah, we technically do get tickets.
Enter your name, man. I mean, those games should be fun this year.
I know. Hopefully, at minimum, we're going to make the UVA game.
Yeah, and the UVA games should be fun this year. And you know what, Rob? I'm almost to the point where it's just solely basketball season. I'm very close. The football, you know, with the football team being off this week, it felt good.
It was stress free.
Yeah, I wasn't sad. I wasn't frustrated. There were no drop passes. There were no weird calls on first down. So, you know, good vibes this weekend with UVA and bye. But we're going to talk a little football today. And, you know, honestly, there's not much that we haven't said already about this team, but, you know, we're going to try and stay a little positive. And then we will talk basketball. The blue-white scrimmage happened this past Saturday. Neither of us were there, but we had boots on the ground. So we'll talk about some things that my dad saw and some of our other friends saw too. So we'll get all of that into it. But let's start with football first. So UVA plays Georgia Tech this Thursday night. Now I was just lamenting to Rob that it's the same time as the Saints. So I'm hoping one of them wins, because otherwise I'll be doubly sad and not really looking forward to two sucky football teams again.
I feel you, man.
But with UVA playing Georgia Tech this Thursday, you know, Georgia Tech has an interim head coach. Coach was fired in the middle of the season. Rob, knowing what we know about our team and just coming off a bye week, what do you think, if anything, any changes we might see going into this Thursday night?
Yeah, changes are going to be interesting. They're going to be tough to come by, though, honestly. I mean, I think offensively, there's only so much you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, changes, hopefully the receivers stop dropping balls. You know, I think they've dropped, I saw like 30-some balls this year. I mean, that's crazy. Hopefully we see some improvement there. I think on the offensive line, you're hoping you see steady improvement throughout the season. But the offensive line, it's not like you're going to flip a switch and it's going to get better. You know, I think Ty Furnish at center has some size limitations that are holding him back. So maybe we'll see more of Jets' Johnson. You know, hopefully Leach with his hand, hopefully he's will be a bit more steady at right tackle. But the offensive line isn't going to fix itself overnight. So I think there's limited things that this offense can really do to change things up. Now, defensively, I think they're in a little bit of a bind right now. You know, Josh Ahearn is out at one linebacker position, or at least he's expected to be out. Nick Jackson is working his way back from a knee injury, so it sounds like he's going to be on a snap count. So you're going to be playing with a lot of backup linebackers, as this team has the previous few weeks. I'm curious to see what happens at safety. They've been rotating in a lot of guys at safety, particularly against Louisville. So, you know, Donovan Johnson got his first real rep from scrimmage, subbing in for Lex Long. So we'll see if, you know, one plays more than the other there. I think the defensive line you're overall pretty happy with, but, you know, I think you're running out of depth on the edge. You know, Jack Camper has been banged up, so Chico Bennett has played a lot, but they've only had one sack after in the past two games. You know, they really need to bring more pressure and get home to the quarterback. So I guess you're hoping that's one of the things you see, but they've been overall pretty successful in forcing turnovers. So I don't know. That's kind of the problem with this season is there's no one thing that's going to happen that's going to flip the switch. I think defensively, they're probably a middle of the pack to slightly above average defense, which is a vast improvement over they were the past two seasons. But offensively, you know, you're dealing with a lot of limitations. So I don't know. I guess that's why you pay these coaches the big bucks. Is there anything you want to see?
I mean, I'd like to see some more points being scored by the offense. As you said, the drops by the wide receivers have really been I just don't get it. At this point, I don't get it anymore. I think that the drops have been really, really, and some really bad ones too. Over the past couple of weeks, you know, Wicks has had drops. Lavelle Davis has had drops. Thompson really is the only one that hasn't dropped many balls this year, but he's also had a few, and but you know he's the only one that seems to be able to get anything going on a consistent basis on the edge and on those some quick routes where he can move and get open. But you know, Wicks had a nice deep ball in the last game to put us ahead 10-0. But after that it was just pretty much nothing from the offense. And so I feel like consistency is something I want to see because the offense has shown that they can do it. You think about that really great third quarter against Syracuse. Think about some of the touchdown drives that we've had in these games, but they haven't put it together for four quarters, much less two quarters in a game. And so I'd like to see consistency throughout at least a half, if not a full game, because we know the talent's there. The talent is there at quarterback. Brennan, you know, whatever is going through his head is a little inexplicable. I know with the offensive line troubles and no time in the pocket and he's telegraphing stuff. We've talked about this a bunch, but he has tried to step up in the past couple of weeks and his receivers and running backs haven't always been there to step up to. And the offensive line as well has been banged up, moving around, not consistent players. So I think consistency is the word for the offense going into Georgia Tech.
I couldn't have said it better myself, man. Consistency is the perfect word right there. And like you said, it comes from everywhere. You know, the receivers, obviously the drops is the easy thing to point to, but I think they got to be better in route running. I think they got to be better in pass or in run blocking. So I think all of the above checks there. The offensive line, to your point, man, I mean, it'd be great if they could settle on a center. I mean, center is one position where I really do not want to rotate guys. Center is the most important position when it comes to line calls and whatnot. So I think, and I mean, frankly, that's why Ty Furnish is playing, really. You know, he's struggling physically. You know, ideally that guy has another year, 2 years to gain weight, but he's playing because he's so smart on the line. But you know, if you can't hold up, you can't hold up, so it makes things difficult. So I think across the board on the offensive line you want to see more consistency, I would say, in the personnel. but certainly in the execution as well. And then quarterback, man, you know, Brennan Armstrong has had some good moments this season, but the dude is just constantly running from his life. You know, it seems like even if he has a clean pocket, he's throwing off his back foot. So it just makes it hard. I will say one throw that did concern me was an interception he had against Louisville where he tried to throw deep to Dontavion Wicks. And I don't know if he didn't see the safety or thought he could get the ball in there before the safety, but either way, it was just a bad throw, one that shouldn't have been made. So he's had his moments, but like he said, I mean, he's got to improve too. And I think turnovers are a big thing. And again, I know he's running for his life, but he's had several fumbles this year on scrambles. And that's something that's got to improve as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good point. I think consistency can improve and it's a slim margin for error. You know, these guys are only going to get so many opportunities. You know, it's not a big explosive play offense like we had last year, really in the second half of 2020. This is an offense that is going to have to inch their way down the field. Yeah. And I've told you, I don't like offenses like this, but it's what we have this year. And I think consistency is a good word. And I don't think there's going to be any like game changers or anything per se. Like I'm not expecting this offense to quote unquote click all of a sudden. We might have to wait for next year for that. But yeah, you know, if they can get consistent, maybe they can get one or two more wins than they would have otherwise, but you know, that's a whole different story when we start counting wins here, because we are at 2-4 at the halfway point of the season and bowl hopes are certainly on the line this weekend against Georgia Tech.
Hey, you know, the first half was the easy half of the schedule. That's the other thing, is that it just gets harder from here. And, you know, Georgia Tech isn't seen as a team that is any good. They don't have a coach right now and they're kind of in turmoil too. I mean, next year they're going to be doing another rebuild from scratch, but you know, this UVA team is all over the place in terms of talent. We should beat Georgia Tech, but right now we're coming out as I think we were 4-point underdogs last time I looked, but yeah, it's just tough because we've said this so many times, it's just frustrating. It's frustrating because of what we saw last year. So many guys on offense, minus the offensive line, so many guys came back from that offensive group that set records at UVA, and they look nothing like their old selves. And it's not just Brennan. Yeah, Brennan's also made some bad throws. As you said, interception's bad. I think back to the interception against Syracuse where he waited probably 2 seconds too long to throw it to Grant Mish on the tight end seam route. And it was just right. The safety like walked into catching that ball. So Brennan's making decisions to try and make plays, which are leading to more turnovers, more mistakes. It's just all over the place. I think that at this point, you know, if we don't beat Georgia Tech, it's, you know, I don't know if there's another win on the table if you lose to Georgia Tech. I think it's pretty much done at that point.
Well, you know what the ironic thing is? It's probably the worst team left on our schedule is Virginia Tech.
Yeah. And well, we're gonna lose.
We'll
so bad.
Just leave that one out.
I'm not even gonna watch that game. Is we're gonna lose. It's gonna be. We're gonna probably get it killed, honestly. Or you know what? It's gonna be like the I forget the year. I think it was 2012. We were at Tech, and there was a botched timeout situation by Mike London.
And we iced the kicker 3 timeouts in a row.
It's gonna be like that, where it's an awful game. We're gonna be up late. We're gonna lose in heartbreak fashion. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
I can feel it.
If it makes us feel any better, Virginia Tech is as down right now as we are, especially seeing Hendon Hooker beat Alabama. My cousin goes to Virginia Tech, and I don't think they're too happy about that right now.
But the thing is Tech wasn't that good last year either.
No, although we had the same record.
Yeah.
We're both 6-6.
Yeah. Look, their defense was better than our defense, but their offense wasn't good, and they didn't have the same kind of like hype coming in, you know, like they didn't have the quarterback with the most touchdowns in Virginia history. coming back. So it, you know, that's kind of like, and this is a little kind of out there, but it'd be like if Mike Vick came back for another season at Tech and just like sucked and like couldn't hold on to the ball. And everyone's like, what is he doing? You know, I'm not saying Brennan's Michael Vick in college, but it feels like we had the star quarterback and he's just really a different player this year. And yeah. It's different system, offensive line problems, but I didn't expect this at all. So weird season.
Yeah. And speaking of Brennan Armstrong, I do feel bad for him, man. Yeah. Like we said, he hasn't been perfect this year. He hasn't. No. He's made mistakes. And I think the mistakes he's made are why he ultimately chose to come back to college. The mistakes mm-hmm. he made are the ones that NFL scouts have pointed out and said, hey, we're not so sure about this. Now, that guy is a great player, has everything it takes to succeed at this level and the next, I think. But obvious growing pains this year. But I will say, man, against Louisville, there were some times where he was visibly frustrated. And whether mm-hmm. he was frustrated at himself, at the receivers for the drops, at the offensive line for giving him no time, I don't know. But that was, you know, we know Brennan Armstrong is fiery and he gets fired up after plays and we know all that. But that was the first time I'd really seen him, you know, really upset with the on-field results. Mm-hmm. Now, it was at heat of the moment stuff, probably. But I think he's so important to this team right now, and maybe too important to this team. You know, yep. He needs some help, and Tony Elliott has said so. But I'm really, really hopeful he's able to get these guys going, man, because I know this isn't the senior season he wanted. He talked all year about, you know, all offseason, he wanted to come back to win double-digit games, that he was a 500 quarterback. He went 5-5 and then 6-6 the past 2 years. And mm-hmm. they had all these lofty expectations, and obviously they haven't gotten anywhere close to achieving them. So mm-hmm. I'm really hopeful, you know, he's able to rally these guys. Consistency, I think, is a great word. But hopefully we see some big plays, man, because Brennan Armstrong, you know, he's been here for 5 years. You know, he's been so important to this team. Even as a backup, everyone loved him. We love Bryce mm-hmm. Perkins, but we still love Brennan Armstrong when he was the backup to Bryce Perkins, because he delivered. Yeah. He had some great moments. So
yeah,
I just really want them to get some momentum going, man. It kills me seeing these guys, all the effort they put in, and for so long just having to struggle through this season the way they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been tough, but, you know, we'll find a way. I want to compare Bronco and Tony Elliott real quick. Cause we talked about, you mentioned the coaching staff and how they're talking about Brennan needs help and everything like that. At this point in Bronco's first season, it was 2016, 6 games in, do you remember, or can you guess the record of the team after 6 games?
I think we're 2-4, right?
Yeah, exactly 2-4. Yeah. We went on to lose every single game after that. And but they did have an ACC win that season against Duke, which was on the road. So, you know, that was also a tough year. You know, changing coaches, changing strategies is difficult. I think that, you know, at that time we had another talented quarterback who's currently in the NFL, Kurt Benkert, who had a pretty good season. You know, he was throwing, he had some deep balls, made some mistakes, but we had a talented group of wide receivers. You know, we had Alameda Zacchaeus, who was there. We had Donnie Dowling, Smoke Mizell was there as well. We had talented players on the field. Couldn't get it together. And of course, the next season, we go 6-6 and make a bowl game for the first time in forever. So I think it's important to remember that, you know, the Bronco stuff worked out eventually. I'm hopeful Tony Elliott will work out eventually too. I think it's just switching coaches is tough. And the way that they switched, the way that Bronco left and Tony Elliott comes in with all of Bronco's players, tough as well. So, you know, I think it's interesting looking at both seasons, seeing how similar they are.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about this. I mean, you could write a book on the Bronco first year and compare it to the Elliott first year. You know, there's so many dynamics there. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bronco first year in hindsight, you know, I think we've kind of romanticized it a little bit, 2-10 and the growth to 9-3. You know, mm-hmm. you're right. That first year was rough. Although I will say, in fairness, Kurt Benkert had never been a full-time starter before he came to UVA. Mm-hmm. Was like 8 or 9 months removed from ACL surgery. He was a dramatically different quarterback in 2017 than he was in 2016. But yeah, I mean, coaching changes are tough, man. They are. I mean, I think we all hoped that this would be a really smooth transition. And, you know, at least as far as the record-wise, hasn't been so far. We'll see. One other point I will make is, you know, our good buddy Sean Crow pointed this out to me today, actually. The schedule has been tougher in the early season than I think we anticipated, or maybe that we give it credit for. You know, mm-hmm. Illinois is a ranked team. They're pretty good right now. You know, if you look at Duke is a lot better than what they were expected to be. Syracuse, obviously, no one was expecting them to be undefeated right now. Yeah. So I think the schedule is tougher than we gave it credit for. Now, back half of the schedule, I mean, that's where the meat is. That's where the ACC schedule is, the rivalries and whatnot. But, you know, in fairness to Tony Elliott, now I'm not saying 2-4, we're happy right now. But I do think the front half of the schedule was probably a little more difficult than we all anticipated coming in.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think you're definitely right. I think that with the schedule, you know, but, you know, honestly, the back half is the same thing, right? Yeah,
it doesn't
you know,
get easier.
No, I mean, a little bit, but like Georgia Tech, they're not good, but it's in Atlanta. It's, I don't know how it's a Thursday night game. So, yeah, you know, people get weird things happen on Thursday night. Miami is better than us, probably. North Carolina looks really good this season. You know, Drake May's been having a fabulous, fantastic season. Kind of the season that we kind of thought Brennan might have. A lot of touchdowns, big throws, limited turnovers. Pitt is, you know, not as good as people thought they might be, but certainly a good team. Coastal Carolina, you know, great non-Power 5 team. And then Tech is almost as bad as we are, but currently they are worse. Their record's worse than us. They're 2-5. So they haven't had their bye yet. Maybe their bye is this week. I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I actually don't know when their bye is, but the history speaks for itself in that rivalry. Uh-huh. So we won't say anything about that until Virginia might or might not win, I guess. No. We'll let that one play out. But yeah, no, I mean, it's tough, and we're not really trying to make a point here other than that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure what they really can do to improve. To really get back to our first question,
yeah.
I'm hopeful for Tony Elliott. You know, I think he probably thought this was going to be easier than what it's turned out to be. I don't think he was expecting to walk into this situation. You know, he was talking a lot about buy-in too. I'm not sure how much I'd buy all of that. You know, if we're being honest, I haven't seen anything to make me think that there's a consensus of people that aren't bought into what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, there were plenty of opportunities for players to transfer out, and players that did transfer all transferred out before the coaching change was made. And, you know, players could have transferred out after spring ball and mm-hmm. no one did. So, you know, it's just tough, man. And I think there's a reason coaching changes are hard. You know, some guys can come in and really hit the ground running, but most of the time, this is kind of the norm, the expectation is that coaching changes take time. Now, you know, we're not going to make this a referendum after 6 games. I think there's some things to be somewhat concerned about, some things that you can still be kind of hopeful about, but that's why you got to play at least the second half of the season. And we'll take it from there. But I think Georgia Tech is a big game for them without question. You know, mm-hmm. you have to go 4-2 in the back half of the schedule. So
some would say a must win game against Georgia Tech.
We're basically there, man. Like not to start counting wins, but You can do that, and it's pretty clear who you need to beat.
Oh, I'm not counting anything. I mean, this I just at this point, like three losses takes us out, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're looking at the schedule, it's like Miami, I see three in a row. Miami, North Carolina, Pitt, Coastal, five in a row with Tech. So it's five that we probably lose. This might be the last win of the season. I mean, Tech is really bad, so, but I'm not even going to go there. Rob, I've got three questions for you.
Okay.
One, speaking of Tech, if we beat Tech this season, it's the only other win this season. We go 3-9. Is it a successful season?
No. No, it's not.
You wanted to say yes. I saw it in your eyes.
I want to be Tech. But no, this season, again, they could turn it around and go 6-0 in the back half of the schedule. And maybe we'll look like idiots. But no, maybe. I think there's been growing pains that were worse than we expected. I mean, the offensive line, you know, to be fair, no one thought they were going to be a strength coming into the season. I think the offensive line has been underwhelming, you know, to say the least. I don't think anyone expected it to face the type of growing pains that we're facing. The receivers have not lived up to the expectations they have. You know, if we want to give some positives here, I think overall the defensive line has been pretty good. And I think the cornerbacks, specifically Anthony Johnson and Fintrell Cypress, have been excellent. I think they've been really, really good. But no, this was not the sixth season. And, you know, there were a lot of talks about 9 wins, 10 wins. You know, I don't think you needed to hit that to be successful. But
look, some people on this podcast said something along the lines of 10 wins. So
I think six or seven wins would have been reasonable expectations.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're going to hit that. If you get a win over Tech, that's great. But no, I don't think that would make it a successful season.
I can't believe you said 10 wins at the beginning of the season. How crazy of you.
Yeah.
No. And also, next question. Okay. On ESPN right now, who do you think the ESPN matchup predictor has winning the Virginia Tech game, and what is the percentage?
Ooh, I will guess Virginia Tech since it's in Blacksburg, but I'll say like 52% in favor of Virginia Tech.
It currently has Virginia winning with a 50.6% to win.
How about that, man?
Yeah. You know, the little things you'll take. And then last question. Do you think if Brennan had transferred, because, you know, he was kind of in no man's land after Bronco left. There was talk of him going to the NFL, staying in the draft. There was talk of him maybe transferring to another school. I have it on good authority that Notre Dame reached out and offered Brennan a place on their team. Do you think Brennan, if he goes to a different team, is as successful there as he was at UVA last year? Based on what we've seen this year, because the system is different, right? He has still has to change systems.
Exactly.
Notre Dame has a better offensive line, but you know, he'd be in a different offensive system. Is he as successful, and does his stock rise? Because right now it's falling. I think it's falling pretty steadily. But do you think he's more successful at a different place?
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you define successful. Numbers-wise, it's tough to beat what you did last year. It just really is. Very few people can have the type of seasons he had last year from a completions, yards, touchdowns perspective, rushing touchdowns even, too. I mean, as far as NFL stock, yeah, I think he has a chance to improve. And I think you've seen improvement throughout this season. You know, he's making some reads. He's making some throws that maybe he wasn't going to make last year, even week one of this year. But I do think his stock would be better if he were somewhere else, honestly, because he'd have more opportunities to make plays. You know, when you're running for your life every play, you can't get in a rhythm. You can't step into your throws. And even when he delivers good balls, half the time they're not being caught. So, that has to get in your head. It has to affect your confidence. So, I mean, I actually had never heard the Notre Dame thing before. you know, if he was there, I mean, Notre Dame's not a world beater, but I'd imagine their offensive line is a little bit in better shape than ours is currently. I do think he would have more opportunity.
Yeah. I just think it's an interesting thought, you know, because he makes the decision to come back and pretty celebrated widely by UVA fans for coming back with a new coach, new offensive coordinator. His whole offensive line leaves him, but his wide receivers are still here. So I just think it's interesting. You know, it's a fun what if. It's not really that fun, actually. It's like kind of sad, but
it's just a what if.
It's a what if, yeah. So what if we had our offensive line from last year? What if we had the schedule last year? You know, so many things could go wrong. But
the comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Anyway, Rob, with football, any last words, thoughts, feelings that you want to share?
No, let's see how Thursday goes, and then we'll start to assess the second half of the season. They've got an opportunity to start to get things right, so I'm hopeful coming out of a bye week they'll be able to do so.
With the bye week, and then we have another long week because we're playing on Thursday, I'm hopeful we get some extra practice before the big Miami game at 12:30 at Scott Stadium.
That's right, man.
Oh, what an awful time. I did not miss the 12:30 games.
Yeah, we took for granted the good time slots we had the past few years.
Oh,
we really did.
So the 4:30, 3:30 games, so much better.
Yeah.
Even the late game, like the 7 and 8, much preferred.
Absolutely. For me.
Because I got a place to stay in Charlottesville, so it's easy for me to drive down. But it is what it is. Let's talk some basketball. This is happy stuff. Let's end on a good note, right? Blue-white scrimmage happens on Saturday, and neither of us were able to make it. I was out of town, and Rob was busy in business school. Or were you home by that point?
I was recovering from exam season.
Yeah, recover. That's a good way.
Not in Charlottesville, unfortunately, though. Okay. I wish I could have been.
But in any case, the men's and women's basketball teams come out and played at JPJ. The women's team is actually looking really fun this year. You know, Coach Mox has been doing great recruiting. We get Brunel back, Virginia Player of the Year a few years ago. Was, I think, injured at Notre Dame. She was number one recruit in the country. Went to Notre Dame, got injured, and then coming back to UVA. So that's exciting. Some good recruiting coming in. So she's drumming up good stuff in Charlottesville. And Tony Bennett has his best recruiting class since the Ty, Kyle, Dre, Jay year, which is also exciting because we know how that ended 3 years afterwards. So it's an exciting time in Charlottesville. Rob, how do you feel about, you know, basketball this year? Last year we had a disappointing year, I think, to say the least. People kind of expected a little bit more out of the transfers, especially Armon Franklin. You know, not to he's gotten a lot of heat over the last season, but you know, the shooting wasn't there last year. You know, playing two point guards at the same time caused some strife with many UVA fans, and just the offense didn't click all the time. But early on, we saw against that loss against JMU is just not going to be one of those years. So how do you feel going into this year compared to last season?
I mean, last season we knew there was going to be some growing pains. You know, I think we are all hopeful that Armon Franklin would deliver more shooting than he did. But, you know, I don't think anyone came in to last year expecting, you know, a Final Four berth by any means. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you come in and there's a lot of excitement, you know, especially from the freshmen. I think that's the biggest thing is having the freshmen on campus, regardless of how much they play. I think there's a lot of optimism because, like you said, we haven't had a class. I mean, four-person class is big in college basketball, and not to mention players of the caliber that they are. I think there's a lot of excitement. I would say there's also, I have some intrigue. I'm curious how this lineup is going to work. You know, you mentioned the Reese Kihei pairing. There's no reason to expect that's going to be any different this year, but are they both playing 35 minutes a game? Is one playing 30? Is one playing 28? You know, is Armon Franklin going to play exclusively the three? Is he going to play the two? It seems like there's more shooting options for this team. You know, Franklin really turned it on in the NIT. And, you know, it's kind of, it's not exciting to talk about it that way, but hey, maybe momentum from the NIT carries over, at least shooting wise. You bring in Vander Plas, who's a pretty good shooter, not a great shooter. I think I'm cautious for people to not build him up more than he is. He's not a Sam Hauser level shooter,
no,
but he's more physical attacking the rim than Sam Hauser was. He plays downhill more than that. So, you know, we're going to get accustomed to him and bring in the freshman. McNeely has a pretty dangerous outside shot if he can get going. Trout, I'm really curious how they're going to use him. He's got an outside shot. So there's all these like chess pieces, and you bring back this experienced roster, the top six or seven guys or whatever it is. We're all a member of last year's team. So it's an experienced team, but there's these new exciting pieces. And if history is any indication, Tony Bennett's going to continue to lean on experience, but it's that intrigue, that excitement, the new shooting ability that hopefully this team has, which, you know, makes this pretty interesting as we roll into the season.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. You know, when Tony has an experienced team, good things happen. Now, last year we had some experience. You know, Kihei is the experienced guy. He's been here forever, it seems like, since the championship. Pre-COVID, Kihei was on this team. That's saying a lot, right? So was Cafaro, I think, actually.
Yeah, Cafaro just redshirted the championship year.
Yeah,
but
still got a ring, right?
Yeah.
but you've got a team that's got experience, and this year we have depth, which is something that we did not have a lot of last year. We didn't have a lot of depth at the two guard. You know, we were playing walk-ons sometimes during for a lot of the season because we just didn't have depth at the guard spot, which is not the case this year. We have a lot with several freshmen coming in who are expected to get minutes at that two guard and even at the three guard too, probably. So we'll see. I'm really interested to see how Tony uses the freshmen. I think that's the key to the season because we kind of know what we're getting with the rest of the people, right? We know Armon's going to shoot it. He's going to make a lot of them. He's going to probably miss some too. And to your credit, to what you said earlier, I think there's a lot of mental stuff shooting is all mental, right? And so if you see the ball go down a couple times at the end of last season, I'm hoping that's a spark for him. And we know he can make it. He made a lot of threes at Indiana. He made a lot of threes towards the end of the season. So Armon's going to shoot it. I'm interested to see what these freshmen do. In this era of NIL and transferring, there's a free transfer for any player at any time. They don't have to sit out. This is still the case. So I think the worrisome part is that if Tony doesn't spread the love throughout the freshmen, there's a chance that one of them leaves. If one of them, because you know, it used to be like he redshirted DeAndre Hunter and Jay Huff, probably the two most interesting prospects, two of the most interesting prospects he's ever recruited, probably. Dre was just a specimen, lanky, wasn't built yet. And Jay Huff was this unicorn kid from North Carolina who could shoot and dunk and block. So I think it'll be interesting to see how he uses them. How much does Isaac McNeely play at the two? Can he get minutes? Can he steal some minutes from Armon or Kihei or Reese at the two spot? does Trout get in there to spell Gardner or Vanderplas at all? Or even, you know, if we go small, can Trout play the five at some points without Shedrick or Cafaro? And then those wing combo guards with Bond and Dunn, do they get any time as well? Because I think those two, once again, are the most interesting prospects from these four because of their length and their ability to drive and slash and shoot. But I don't know how much time they get at the three spot, because can they play the defense? Are they going to be able to score? Are they ingrained in the offense enough? So I think it's a really interesting question of how Tony's going to use the four freshmen.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And to me, the most interesting two storylines that I'm following coming into the season, the freshmen play parts in both of them, but mm-hmm. one is the two guard spot. How does that mm-hmm. work out? You know, like we said, the Rihei.
Been at this too long.
Rihei Reese pairing. Uh-huh. That's, you know, we know the positives and the negatives of that. So does that get broken, for lack of a better word? Does anyone come in and seize a two guard spot? And, you know, I'm curious how that'll play out, and that affects the three as well. As we know, the two and the three guard in our system are mm-hmm. pretty similar. But then the front court as well, you know, Caden Shedrick, by all accounts, has taken a big leap. And I feel like we say that every year at this point, but hopefully yeah. this year it's actually true. You know, yeah. he's battled injuries and illnesses throughout his career. So I'd love to see him really take off. But the bigger thing is really the Gardner Vanderplas scenario. And mm-hmm. I think Gardner's going to start. But Vanderplas is going to play a lot. And are there matchups where Vanderplas plays more than Gardner or vice versa? Are there ever scenarios yeah. where they're on the floor at the same time? Because mm-hmm. they kind of played the same position just in two different ways. So those are the two spots I'm really looking at. Really, it's the two spot and the four spot that I think yeah. are the most interesting. But the freshman, hey, McNeely can earn minutes at the two. That's exciting. And, mm-hmm. you know, Trout can earn minutes at the four. That's exciting. So, but I think those are the two areas where I'm spending the most time watching.
And you know, the three spot too, I think is really interesting, because right now we've got one guy. I mean, Tane Murray is the guy at the three spot right now. Besides Franklin, if Franklin's probably going to start at the three guard, but Tane can come in and spell at the three. Do Leon Bond or Ryan Dunn get some three time? Can Vanderplas play at the three at all? Or is he too big for the three? You know, so I think there's some interesting questions there too. We could go really small or really big with these lineups. I think there's a lot of versatility that Tony has. I think those freshmen and Vanderplas as well bring to the table. Now, I've got a scenario for you, and I want you to hear me out. I think there's a lot of places in our lineups where there's like two guys that could play the spot, right? So if Tony Bennett, he's not going to do this, but if Tony Bennett were to platoon.
I was waiting for you to say that word.
I know. I can see you. Yeah. I saw your face light up. You knew where I was going. Kentucky, I think 2015, right?
Yeah.
Platoon system. They had like, you know, six future NBA players on that team. Something crazy. What would your two starting lineups be for the platoon system?
Oh man.
Now
it's our gut.
I don't want to overwhelm you, because I didn't tell you about this, but I've played this game with a couple people. I played with my buddy Somil, saw this weekend. I played with our friend Austin Foster, your roommate, who was in town last week.
Yeah.
Let's start with the easiest part of the platoon system, the point guard. I think immediately you split up Kihei and Reese.
Yeah.
I think that's the first thing you do with the platoon system. Now, the two guard, who do you put with Kihei and who do you put with Reese?
Yeah, see, this is where it gets hard, because I think it's mm-hmm. pretty easy to split into two teams. It's just yeah. who goes with who.
And who works together, right?
Yeah, with Reese, I'd probably want to put Franklin.
Okay, why?
Because Reese doesn't have as consistent of an outside shot, and I feel like Franklin would complement that. Whereas Kihei, okay. Kihei you know, isn't the best shooter in the world, but if you're handing out open threes, I'd rather have Kihei shoot than Reese.
Okay.
What do you think?
See, I always thought you should put, well, always. I've been saying I think Kihei and Armon would work well together, and Reese and Isaac. I'm thinking mostly on defensive terms because Isaac, I think Reese is the better overall defender than Kiki is a great defender, but I think Reese is a little bit better. He's more versatile. Yeah, I agree. Isaac's going to need that help, especially switching stuff at first. So I think that it's easier to put Reese and Isaac together. You could also think about, if you're worried about shooting, you could put Vander Plas at the four with Reese and Isaac, and you could put Trout with them as well. Although defensively that sounds awful. So I think there's different ways. You could put Tane at the three with them for some shooting. I don't know. I think it's an interesting game.
Give me a week and I'll come back to you on this, man. I need to think this through.
All right, we'll do it next week. Well, okay, next week we're going to do two things. One, we're going to grade the football team, which we're really excited
about. Kind of dreading that.
And two, we'll do the platoon system.
Okay,
which I think is good. Here, this is kind of cheating, but this is what the starters were for the blue-white scrimmage. Team one was Kihei, Armon, Tane, Jaden, and Isaac Trout. Team two was Reese, Isaac McNeely, Bond, Vander Plas, Shedrick. Kafara was out with, I think, an injury or something. He wasn't dressed, but you can include him in your starting lineup if you wish.
Okay.
So think about it. Sleep on it. We'll come back to it. Okay. Any last basketball thoughts? Since we're not gonna spend another hour talking about this.
We probably could. No, I mean, what? So we're under 3 weeks away from tip off. Mm-hmm. So a difficult season, a difficult schedule, that is. But as we said, senior heavy team. You know, technically there's five seniors on this roster. Three of them will be totally out of eligibility after this season, that being Kihei Clark, Jaden Gardner, and Ben Vander Plas. I guess technically Kafaro and Franklin could both come back. They have eligibility to do so. But as a senior heavy team, and you're going to be rolling into the following season with a lot of your core guys no longer there. So I think there's an interesting dynamic at play here where, yeah, it's senior heavy, but are we also preparing for the future too? And I think, you know, some of that will play itself out based off of how this team plays. And I mean, obviously, listen, you're trying to win every game, but I do think it's going to be interesting to kind of think through as the season rolls along. All right, do we want to get the freshmen more time here? Do we want to prepare them for this scenario? Because Tony Bennett plays to win, but he also plays for, he likes to put guys in situations, and he's not going to do so at the expense of winning. But, you know, if you remember after the UMBC loss, he said, we're not going to put a senior on the podium. We're going to put Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome on the podium because they're coming back and they can learn from this. So that's kind of an overarching storyline I'm looking forward to following, but I'm sure more news will come out as we get closer to tip off. Under 3 weeks away, like we said. So UVA is number 18 in the AP poll, number three in the ACC preseason poll, both of which sound about right. Jaden Gardner is second team all ACC. So, you know, things are kind of lining up as we expected them to. So I'm just excited to see what we got this year, man.
It'll be good. We'll probably do a season preview in a few weeks. Just look at the schedule, look at some heavy parts of the schedule, some places to look at, and it'll be good. I think that's pretty much it today. I want to give a quick shout out to three guys recently got new contracts in the NBA. Mamadi signed a two-way with the Cavs, so that's a fun team for him to be on. DeAndre Hunter signed a four-year extension, $95 million. So congrats to Dre on getting, I think, well-deserved money from the Hawks. And then the other one was, oh, I lost it. Who are you? Ty is signed a two-way with the Warriors. So good job, Ty.
chilling in the background on the Draymond Green video. Yeah,
I was just thinking about that. If you haven't seen the Draymond Green video of him punching Jordan Poole, Ty is just standing there like, I'm not getting in the middle of that. Like, I'm staying far away. It's just kind of chilling. But it's funny. Anyway, congrats to those three. We'll definitely keep a lookout. A lot of UVA guys in the NBA this year.
Yeah, they really should. And Tony Bennett's pumping that up. Did you see the interview he had with On Three, where he was kind of touting their success and how it's hard, how he thinks it's hard for people to negatively recruit against them?
Yeah.
I liked it, man. It was kind of fiery.
Yeah. We got people from all over Tony's stuff. Klay Thompson, people forget, was a Tony prodigy. You got people from Malcolm, who is with the Celtics this year, people saying he's going to have a big year with the Celtics, to Sam Hauser, who also on the Celtics, but he's more of a newcomer, and Trey Murphy coming up with the Pelicans. They should be fun this year. Joe Harris, he's injured, but Nets, I don't know if they're going to be as dysfunctional this year or not. And you know, some role players in Anthony Gill and Braxton Key on the Wizards and Pistons respectively. So, you know, 9 guys in the NBA right now. So pretty fun time to watch some hoops.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. Plus all the guys overseas too. There's,
oh yeah,
there's good professional representation for UVA out there.
Yeah. Overseas, there's Mike Scott just signed an overseas deal with Nancy Basket. I don't know what that is. Sluk. They look French, I think. I don't know. Kyle Guy overseas doing well. And Akil Mitchell, Devin Hall playing overseas. A lot of guys.
I don't know if Mike Toby's still playing, but Mike Toby was doing well overseas as well.
He was on the Slovenian national team. So he was playing with Luka all summer.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So Mike Toby is like doing pick and rolls with Luka and getting baskets with it. So it's pretty fun to watch that. So anyway, good stuff happening with UVA basketball. Excited for the season. Much more fun than UVA football right now. We'll see on Thursday, though. So with that, thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Guys and Ties Pod. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram and Snapchat for any bonus content at Guys and Ties Pod. You can give us a follow on Spotify or iTunes if you want to keep listening to us. And we will see y'all hopefully next week. Yeah, past 2 weeks, we didn't get one out. Rob's super busy with finals and I'm all over the place. So we apologize, but we'll try and get one out next week. Next time we are going to do this platoon talk. And I think it's going to be a fun conversation. So go Hoos, be Georgia Tech.
Who's?